Welcome to the Unapologetically Unstoppable podcast. I'm your host, Jeanette Peterson. And on this podcast, we talk about how to partner with the Holy Spirit with your business and how to grow businesses with practical tips and tricks. Get ready. Here we go. Hey, girl. Hey, welcome to this episode of the Unapologetically Unstoppable podcast. In this episode, we've got special guest, Andrew Anderson. And she is a consultative coach that's also accredited at the PCC level through the International Coach Federation. Her signature program, The Business Detox, is for clients who want to give Jesus the all-access pass to their life and business and really live wholeheartedly for God. Inside her program, she helps her clients spot where they're fighting the Lord on what he wants to do in and through them. She helps them grow their confidence in distinguishing God's voice above all others, and helps them build their business with kingdom principles. Her specialty is working with empaths, entrepreneurs who have unconventional business models or visions, and those with generational patterns of workaholism. Can we get a name in there? Because, I feel like all of us Enneagram 3s, we got a little bit of that in us. She's also the host of the Business Detox podcast. Andrea has a background in marketing communications. She's certified in life and health coaching, and is a teaching instructor for the Christian Coaching Mastery. While she's a believer now, she used to be an atheist before coming to Christ in her mid-20s. She's from Canada. She lives now in Cleveland, Ohio with her husband and her 4 kids and her 2 cats. Then they're all just living their best life. Welcome. Welcome, Andrea. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Excited to be here.
So tell me about your business, because I feel like we don't always go through business the same way and get to where we're at. You know, it's a process of arrival. So tell me about how you did all these things and got to, you know, helping people with their business with kingdom principles, which is kind of something like I do, similar, and your program, The Business Detox. What is that?
Yeah. So as far as how I got here, it was a long road, mostly filled with fighting the Lord on what he actually had called me to do, which was coaching. And he called me to coaching in the 2006 was when he first called me to coaching. So I did get my coaching certification then. To make a long story short, there was a lot of doing things that he did not call me to until it came to a place of realizing I needed to actually step into obedience and do coaching in the way that he called me to do it. So it actually started at the beginning of 2019 with health coaching based on a health transformation I had. But it wasn't exactly where he was going to have me land. I've always been entrepreneurial. And as much as I love talking about health, like talking about business is, it just really gets me all fired up. And so at the end of 2022, he made it clear that again, yes, I was closer, but hadn't exactly landed where he was leading me. So I took the beginning of 2023 to wipe the slate clean. And I was just like, okay, Lord, I'm going to now learn to wait on you and wait to hear what you have for me. And pretty quickly, he made it clear that it was business coaching. But then it's just been a process of figuring out what that actually means, right? Because there's so many different avenues you could take with business. And so even over this past year, it's been uncovering what that looks like. And the business detox really is about removing those things in our businesses, in our mindsets, that are hindering us. And the business detox is founded on the scripture that we find in Hebrews 12:1, which is to get rid of everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles so that we can run that race Jesus maps out for us. And for the longest time, I had seen that scripture. Like I lumped the things that trip us up with the sin. And then he showed me, no, that's actually different. And there's, if you think about business, right, there's so many things that we could do, so many possibilities and strategies. And it's not that they're wrong, but they might not be right for us. And yet, yes, if we're walking in those, we are going to flounder a little bit because the Lord is like, I didn't actually tell you to do that. You've made that decision. And then there's also seasons, right, in our business where for us to go to the next level, we have to shed the things that we were doing before, right? What works for you in one level isn't going to work for you in the next. So it's also about identifying those and helping business owners to release what the Lord is asking them to release so that they can focus on what He actually has for them.
I absolutely love that. I did marketing for quite a while, and like I would always help these people build their businesses and see all the great things that they could do, but they weren't happy because I knew that it was not what God was telling them to do. They were just doing what their coach was telling them to do, and I was helping them implement it. And I was like, you will never grow the way you want to if you continue to follow somebody's voice and not God's voice.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. And I've seen that too, is I see that there's this tendency in many spaces. Actually, I saw this in health coaching too, this kind of just tell me what to do mindset. But it's like, well, how does that person that you're hiring necessarily know what God has in mind? And so if we put somebody else in the position of the Lord in the just tell me what to do, we are going to experience struggle, which is one of the reasons why I love the coaching model, because coaching really is meant to be about listening. It's about asking questions. It's about giving the client confidence to know they can come up with the answers, that they have the answers, especially when we go to the Lord. And then the consulting part is, okay, now we've figured that out. Now what makes sense? What makes the most sense in the strategy?
I love that. I love that. I actually didn't realize we did things so similarly, which is really cool. I've never talked to another me before. That's awesome. Yeah. And so like last night I was reading in Romans. Me and my husband are starting a new study. It's on Romans. It was like Romans 1 through 2, chapter 2. And in it, it was talking about hedonism. And like hedonism meaning like not listening to God or pretending like God doesn't exist because it's not serving you. And that's kind of what people were doing. They were like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. I'm not going to ask God anything. I love God over here, but not in my business. So I just want to take what I want to do over here and not even talk to God about it because I don't want Him to run this part of my business. But really, you need Him to run the entire thing because there's so many people He can use you to help and touch and minister to and bring more people to Christ if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because our business is our ministry, right? Like I feel that deeply. Like this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So good. So good. So I think I know your answer, but would you say that your business is God-centered, or are you God-centered? And has your business always been that way?
So yeah, the answer to both of those is yes, I'm God-centered. As much as I try, you know, he always corrects me when he's like, actually, you are not focusing on me. But yes, my business is God-centered. And ever since I stepped into coaching, it always has been, because when he called me to coaching, it was about asking him, how do I help people on a transformative level? So he gave me the phrase life coach back in 2006 when the coaching industry was so young, like most people hadn't heard of it. And if you think about it, transformation, real transformation only happens with him. People who aren't believers can only get so far. And then there's a God-sized hole that they're trying to fill with other things, and it's just not going to work. And so I recognized early on that if I wasn't leading with him forward facing in my business, that I would walk away feeling so inauthentic in coaching, because I would know that there's this huge gap. And if the person in front of me, because coaching is about what the client wants, not about what the coach wants. If the person in front of me wasn't willing to hear the truth, the real truth, not their own version of it, then there's only so far we could go. And that just didn't sit well with me. And I feel like he's called me to be more of a Peter than a Paul. And the way that I equate that, right, is like Peter was called mostly, not exclusively, but mostly to the Jews, while Paul was called mostly to witness to the Gentiles. And so he's called me specifically to build up the body of Christ so that those that are called to be primarily Paul's are strengthened in that, and also so that it unifies and strengthens the body as well.
Yeah, I feel like we're all hands and we're all feet, and my purpose as a hand is to do this. So I'm going to do this. So I want to talk a little bit, just switching gears, not quite about business anymore, but kind of about like your atheism. When I was in the military, I would call myself agnostic. I wouldn't say like atheist, but I was like, well, there's something. I don't know if God is there for me. But so what was that like? And do you think that that has totally changed how you do business and how you live life with God because you were so far at one point?
That last question is a good one. I'd have to think on that a minute. But yes, the atheism started in my early teen years. We had moved from Canada to the U.S. and we were going to a church in Canada, but it was like, I would say we were cultural Christians. Like if you had asked our family, like, are you Christian? We would have said yes. But the idea of a relationship with the Lord was not even in the picture. So when we moved to the States and my mom did want to find a church and they found one, but you know, when it's not based on a relationship with Jesus, it's essentially like just looking for a club. Like, what club do we want to go to on Sundays? Anyway, my dad wasn't really enamored with the one that we had been going to. And then I was picking up on that. And I'm like, well, if dad's not going, I'm not going. And that was coupled with learning about evolution in school. And for some reason, my conclusion was, well, that it takes away the need for God, or that explains away God. So I did enter probably just over a decade of kind of going back and forth a little bit between atheism and agnosticism. But for sure, when I was in my college years, I was like so hostile to the idea of God and Christians. I thought Christians were a bunch of hypocrites. Like there was nothing attractive to me about Christianity. I said probably out loud and definitely thought in my head, I will never be a Christian, because I thought that they were a bunch of hypocrites and that you would have to instill fear in people or honestly completely lose your mind and believe ridiculous things. And honestly, to say it's only the Holy Spirit softening my heart. Plus, I know there were people praying for me, but it was the death of my grandfather that had me reconsider my beliefs, which was at the time that he died. If what I'm believing is true, I will never see him again. And that really hit hard because he was the first family member that I lost where it actually meant something to me, where I knew what death, the reality of right. death actually meant. So that's what the Lord used. It was that separation, not necessarily, oh, I want to be like someone. But then he took me on this journey of he had me read the Bible cover to cover. And there were so many moments where I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was in there, you know, because I'm basing my knowledge on God on Sunday school stories versus actually being in the Word. And he also used the Left Behind series. I don't know if you had ever read that, but if any of your listeners have read the Left Behind series, it's a fictionalized version of Revelation or like an author's interpretation of what the end times would look like. And again, this is the Holy Spirit, because I know I wasn't a believer at the time, but there was something in me that way the authors wrote about the character's relationship with the Lord where I was saying, I want that. And he's honored that. As far as how that impacts me business-wise, I'm not sure if it how I don't know, that's something I would have to process with the Lord.
Okay.
I guess yeah. The way that I do see it showing up is I never went to seminary. Like where I am today and why I always like to share that I wasn't always a believer, that I was actually 180 degrees in the other direction, is because where I am today is simply asking God for that, asking him to show me, like always wanting that desire to have more of him. And so if he can do that in me, he can do it in anyone.
I almost feel like it's, what's the word? It's like a first generation like immigrant almost. Like, mm-hmm. like they work so hard to get that real relationship. So that way it's easier for those who come after us.
Like that's good analogy.
That's what I'm feeling. Like, I don't know why I felt like that, but I feel like that. Like, I feel like that for me too, because my kind of like you, it was like a club. There was no relationship. It was just, you do these things. You might go to VBS in the summer. You might not. It was not that serious. But for my life, it is like, I can't not talk about God. And when I was a kid, I'd make fun of like, look at those nerds over there, like reading, like, what are they doing? Like, that is so weird. Like, but that's me now because I just love God so much.
Although even as you're talking, what he was, I think the way this does play into my business is because he has me, because I've resisted him for so long, like not only in my faith journey, but in business as well, that he's given me that discernment to spot in others where they're resisting him. It's like that plank and speck. Like I've had to work to get that plank out of my eye so I can see where it's persistent. And in the message that he keeps hitting home lately is how especially mature believers are walking around confusing head knowledge with true belief. Especially they think, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God with my business. I'm surrendered my business to the Lord. And then when you start, there's signs that actually indicate, no, indeed, you're not. And when God wants to grow you to that next level, again, it goes back to the business detox, he has to show you like a new layer of unbelief, how you're actually doubting him and how you're not fully surrendered to him. And so I think that's probably where that comes into play is I was walking around thinking I knew what the truth was, and it was just my own version of it. And absolutely, that shows up in Christianity. And I feel like there's this movement of God where he wants to call the body out on that. It's why we have so many problems in the church today. It's because we're walking around thinking that we're surrendering to him, that it's Jesus over everything. And he's like, no, it's not.
And we're so deaf to it. Not like us necessarily, but us as Christians are so deaf to it because we don't want to believe that we're not. So we're like blocking that from allowing us to even think that we're not humbling ourselves enough to see that we are actually not at all.
Amen. Right. Because if I asked a believer, are you trusting God? For them to be like, no, there's something in their spirit that they'd be like, wait a minute. Yeah. Are you believing God? No. It's you're like, oh, that I just failed that exam, that pop quiz, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think I agree. It's like a lot of Christian culture, too, wants to look good and not really present as the broken people that we actually are. We're not Jesus. Like, we are not there yet. We're never going to get there until we get there.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's what if we didn't doubt God or if we were fully surrendered all the time, we would be perfect because Jesus didn't doubt the Lord. He fully trusted God. He was fully surrendered to him. And he was perfect.
Right. So what supernatural ways have you seen God show up? This is my favorite question because I get to hear God showing up. That's my favorite.
I love it. It's my favorite too. Well, for sure, the way he called me to coaching, like literally hearing the phrase life coach in a time where pretty much nobody had heard of the life coaching industry. I see him show up in supernatural ways in coaching sessions with clients. Cause like when I go into a session, I'm like, this is your space, Lord. I don't know what you're going to do. There's so many times where it's like, I'm throwing him a Hail Mary, like, oh Lord, where do I go with this? And which I think is a good place to be is to have that. He's taught me a lot about going into a session where like, Lord, you need to be in control because I don't know all the things that are fully present. And then when he brings those downloads, whether it's a word he gives to me for my clients or he brings something to them, it's like, okay, you're getting all the glory and we just get to watch him. But something that he's especially done, and this is one of the reasons why I love this question too. So back in December of 23, I was in this, it was called the Favor of God Challenge for a month. And it was just intensely going after the Lord with a group of usually about 40 other believers were showing up. It was It was amazing. And there was so much the Lord did in it. Well, one of the things that was stirred up for me was this idea of, I had a hard time with receiving from the Lord. Like, it's kind of goes back to that works. Like, I have to work for something. And he had me walk through this visualization. Visualizations are something that he's used in my life and in ways that I also can help clients with. But he walked me through this visualization to just practice in a posture of receiving from him. And I was thinking, I'm like, I want to receive more clients, Lord. Like, that's where we go as business owners, right? Just bring the clients.
Yeah.
But what I saw in this exercise was, it was like he was placing bolts of cloth in my arms. And I was like, okay, but I'm asking you for clients, but I'm going to go with it if that's what you're showing me. And it was almost like this, like, expensive cloth that I pictured him putting in my arms. And I was like, okay, so you're giving me expensive cloth. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust you for it. Well, and I have the picture right here. So this was this notebook that is this black notebook that I was recording things from this challenge in. And I had it, you know, like, it's spiral bound. So I had it on the line pages. And then a couple days after this, like, receiving the cloth, I happened to open this notebook up. And it says on here, quality materials made to last in it. And
oh,
I was like,
gosh.
The Lord. So what I felt that was, he was saying is, like, you are coming out of 2023 with quality materials that are made to last and people are going to want it. And one of the ways that I saw him do that was in, I think, end of January, beginning of February, is he downloaded this framework to me. And I know we're going to include a link to this in the episode of how to expose doubt and uncertainty and what that is telling us about whether we're trusting the Lord or not. And I brought a group of mature believers through it, and just, it was like scales were falling from eyes and they were seeing these new layers of how they were actually doubting the Lord. They weren't surrendered to him. And I mean, it's just amazing what the Lord has done through this and how it's just brought the people who go through that framework into a new level of freedom.
I love that, because that's real freedom, right? Through God is real freedom.
Amen.
I love that. I love how God just, like, it's like the little nuancey, like, little, like, teeny tiny things that he does. And I'm just like, okay, God. All right. I see you. I see you there. Because, I mean, like, your notebook, you would have never been like, this is fine material. You know, it's just a notebook. But then you saw it and you were like, confirmation. That's God. I love that.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, I love how he does that.
What has been your biggest struggle getting to where you are now?
Yeah, it's definitely been that fighting God. I like to say I earned an MBA, or I practically earned an MBA in avoiding what the Lord wants to do in and through me. Just resisting that, and for myself, not really giving Jesus the all access pass. And again, I know that's a lifelong, like, I know there's more layers that are coming, and he's so kind not to give it to us all at once. But seeing, like, that, fighting him and also allowing fear, doubts and fears to get in the way and stop me from not believing what he was inviting me too. And so that part, honestly, it's like, I don't want to go into a space of condemning myself, but there is still a grief that comes with it. You know, it's just like the Israelites, right? They could have been in the promised land in like 2 weeks, but it was 40 years. Thankfully, I don't think I'm on the 40-year plan. I think I've shortened that timeline, but there's still that grief to know that, oh my gosh, I allowed the doubts and fears and not believing the Lord to delay where he wanted to lead me. Now, I know he can accelerate timelines and do what he wants to do through that, but it's like, what would have been, I wonder where I would have been had I been on board with his plan from the get-go.
That's a great question. I wonder that sometimes too. But also, I'm like, would I have learned and been ready for this next season if I hadn't?
Right. And that's where it's like he uses all things together, right? For our good, for his glory,
yes,
for his purposes. So I love that. Like, he's not intimidated by our missteps. He's like, I'm going to figure out how to, or I already have figured out how to work all of this because I already knew what you were going to choose before you even chose it.
Yep. Amen. What is one thing that you've learned on your journey that makes you unstoppable? Do you think that that is part of the will to surrender and like, or what is it?
Yeah, I love that question too. Honestly, it's God's faithfulness, because if it was up to me, I would have quit. I know now that the reason he gave me the phrase life coach as almost audible, like it's like he could have been sitting next to me on the couch as I was praying, is he knew that I needed it to be that clear, because every single time I wanted to quit, he's like, and what did I tell you? And I can't argue with that. And every time I enter the quitting zone, it's like, is this really worth it? Like, this is so hard. I just want to quit. Like, just let me quit. And then he always brings encouragement. So if he wasn't faithful, I would have stopped. But he's not going to stop.
I just love that you just go back to his promises and be like, okay, God, this sucks. This is hard. I don't like this. But he reminds you, I gave you this promise. I gave you a word. I gave you something that I'm never going to go back on. I'm not going to go back on my word for you. So it's easier to keep going when you know you've got a word from God. I think it's harder when you don't have a word. Then I don't know if it's even from God at that point. But when you're like putting your faith in his words and you're like, yes, I'm going after what God says because God is faithful. That's so good.
Yeah, amen. And I think that's why he will give us those confirmations in ways. Usually it's two or three confirmations when we're not sure, right? And that's what I always encourage people with too, when they're like not sure. It's like, okay, well, typically he is going to bring that confirmation from unconnected sources. Like you just keep saying the same, you see the same messages again, you know, people who wouldn't know. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know anything about numbers? Biblical
like
numbers?
Numerology numbers?
Kind of.
I've looked a little bit into it.
I was talking to somebody earlier because you said three, that there's a confirmation of three. And I've seen that, right, in my own life. But I didn't know if that was a biblical number as well, because I know like seven is perfection and completion. Eight is new beginnings. But I don't know if three has a meaning.
It does, because if you think the Lord is a Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So yeah, there a couple of years ago, he was highlighting numbers to me. I'm like, is this just like that new age stuff? Like, am I just so I'm like, Lord, I don't want to think that these numbers have a significance if you aren't giving them significance. So I did start to look into it. And if you look up, if you just do a Google search on like the number three in the Bible and see all the scriptures related to it, you will see a pattern with that.
Interesting. That's just a lob one in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So absolutely. You could check out. Three is very significant.
So speaking of Bible verses, actually, you took a quiz. And in the quiz, you got a result. Do you remember what your result was for the quiz, your spiritual gift?
Was it discernment?
Exhortation.
Okay. Yes.
Were you surprised by that?
No, I was not surprised by that. I've had people say that I know I'm an encourager, which would make sense in being called to be a coach, because that is one of the roles that we serve, is to encourage people. I was at a conference several years ago and was in kind of a supporting role in that. And one of the attendees there was like, I've never met anyone that encourages in the way that you encourage. So yeah, that didn't surprise me.
That's amazing. I don't know many people that are like an encourager. I feel like I am an encourager. Do you get drained by encouraging at times or no?
Yes, but it could be on the scale of introvert to extrovert, I lean a little bit more introverted.
Yeah, yeah, facts.
Right? So just that natural tendency, it could be that. I also am a highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
So because I am more sensitive to people, if you think about the people who need encouragement, typically they're the ones that are going through something, right? So
right.
The leaning more introvert, the picking up to a higher degree on distress is going to drain a little bit more. But I do find that when people are excited about something and they're sharing their vision, that actually energizes me. Because I'm like, yes, go after it. Like, you could do it. And then you see their excitement and it just kind of amplifies.
Yeah.
It's just, I would say, I do have to be mindful of the spaces where someone is really in the valley and therefore managing that energy or making sure like it's not depleting me to the point where it's harder for me to show up in the way I need to show up for other people in my life. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the same. We should talk about that like offline, but yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is your favorite Bible verse and why?
I always love when people ask this question because it's like, who's your favorite child out of your four? However, the one that I will give you is the life verse that the Lord gave me, which is Psalm 27, verse 4. And it's the one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. And that really does connect with that heart cry that he gave for me right at the beginning of my journey in my faith journey with him, is that desire to be in his presence, to seek after him. Like, I'm never satisfied in my relationship with God from the sense that I know there's more that he has. I'm like, I want more, Lord, I want more. And so the seeking and just being in his presence. And honestly, I see that that's a safeguard as well. It's like, if that's the primary focus, then all the other things will take care of themselves.
Yes, they will. And that's a hard thing to remember and to learn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe me, I also forget it at times.
Andrea, this was such a blessing. I know that whoever listens to this episode is just going to be so blessed. So tell us a little bit more about the business detox, how they can get in touch with you, all the things.
Mm-hmm. So the business detox has three levels. I really like to work in a custom format and meet people where they are. And so all levels have group coaching, but for those that want to fold in one-on-one, and I love getting in that one-on-one setting, the other two levels fold in that. There's also access to in-between support and then a resource library as well. But it's really about putting yourself in a space where we can go after how the Lord is wanting to guide you. Really figure out, again, what are those things that need to go that God is saying it's time to let them go, so that it can be strategies, habits, mindsets. And then replacing those with new mindsets, with the strategies that he means for you to have for your next level and next season. And then just persisting in that and having that support. And the other thing that I'm adamant about in the business detox is that it's pressure-free. Because I've been in so many containers, and I don't know if you've had this experience, where there's so much pressure to like get results, or whether that's financial or client or just it. And what I find is that typically shuts us down. It actually clouds our ability to hear the Lord's voice. So this is more, again, like hands off, like, Lord, we're turning this over to you. It's that surrender piece. And then that way, when there's not the pressure, there's much more freedom to move in the way that the Lord is leading. And so through my website, there's all the details there. The group only level, anybody can join, but the other two levels would require an application and call because I want to make sure the right people are in that container as well.
I love that. I love that. Especially when we come from a place that's all right, God, we are going to just run after you, whatever you have. It's a scary place though. Like, I feel like everywhere on the internet's like little type A, a little Enneagram 3, a little like, I want to plan everything and know all the things, but to like come to that place of, all right, I'm going to fully surrender and just wait on the Lord. I'm not going to launch according to my launch calendar. I'm going to wait until you tell me. That's, whew.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's like, Jesus, take the wheel. Okay, let me take it back when it looks like we're off-roading.
Right. Like, not even backseat driving. It's just like sitting in his lap being like, nope, we're going to go this way.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like suggesting directions. Are you sure you don't want to get off at this exit?
Yes. Thank you so much for this. This has been a blessing. I'm going to leave all of your links in the show notes, the workbook, the community, your website, and all how to contact you on LinkedIn and Instagram, and it'll be great. Thank you so much for blessing this podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Go ahead and leave a review to let everybody else know how much this episode has impacted you. And you know what? I would love to get to know you even better. So go ahead and send me a DM over on Instagram at Jeanette.Peterson or come to my free group at JeanettePeterson.com/group. I'll see you guys over there.